We're joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award recipient, friend of the program, member of the Buffalo Bills Mafia. He is Mark Stein. Mark, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good.
No, I think I know what you mean. I think I know exactly what you mean by a response like that, so let me rephrase the question. Before we talk basketball, let me ask you, as a Bills fan, how are you feeling today, Mark?
I'm not shocked. I think realistically everybody knew the Chiefs were a big favorite in that game. And look, if I'm being as candid as I can, I lived in the Buffalo area basically from ages 2 to 9. All my sporting allegiances were formed then, but I am in truth a much bigger Sabres fan than a Bills fan, and it's really my 14-year-old son, Aaron, who brought me back to the Bills this year because he, on his own, without me even pushing him, loves Josh Allen, became a Bills fan. So this season in our house, every Sunday the Bills were on, and it was the first time really in my fatherhood that it was like that. So I definitely got back into it this year. But like I said, I am no NFL expert, so let's not waste too much time. But with the state of the Bills' defense and a lack of a running game, you're not going to beat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. So they got Josh Allen, they got Diggs, they got some great players, but there are still holes to fill before they can be a legit Super Bowl contender.
Hey, listen, I appreciate that, but my biggest takeaway and the best part about that is that you and your son can share that. That's a great thing. We know this about fathers and sons in sports and passing that on, so I think that's really cool. Listen, thing is, tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant, and I want to get into your piece about Kobe and Zach Randolph in a moment. But overall, when you think about the passing of Kobe, what kind of thoughts come to mind?
I think I'm like everyone, and I know you had a relationship with him, and I think we're all fans, media, whatever, you know, it still is incomprehensible. It is just still impossible to believe. I've had this conversation with so many colleagues. We write these stories. I've lost count by now how many kind of retrospective, tribute, insidery kind of pieces, kind of telling various aspects of Kobe's story. And after writing them, it still just does not sink in. It just still does not seem possible. It's the saddest story I've ever covered in my 35 years doing this, and I have a feeling it's going to always be the saddest story that I ever covered. It's just not just for what Kobe meant to people within sports and beyond sports, but you know, there were three teenage girls on that helicopter, and just lives cut so tragically short. And I think what just sticks for me is Kobe was 17 when I met him. I was the Lakers beat writer for the LA Daily News, so he was 17 at the first press conference that I covered with him when he was introduced as a Laker, and you know, his daughter was with him, and you know, these are teenagers on that helicopter. Alyssa Altobelli, Peyton Chester, you know, they're teenagers too, and I just that's the part that I can't let go of.
Right. Mark Stein is joining us. So, Mark, Zach Randolph moved to Southern California after he retired, and his daughter joined Team Mamba. What was Zach's impression of Kobe when they played in the league?
Yeah, you know, look, they were contemporaries. Randolph was drafted in 2001, so Kobe was in the league for 5 years by that point. But, you know, Zach worked his way to all-star status. They played in a couple all-star games together. So they were, you know, rivals, but it was really nothing more than a mutual respect of, you know, guys who cross paths a lot on the court. And you know, I think people were aware after everything happened last January that Zach Randolph's daughter was on the team, on the team Kobe coached. But Zach and his daughter, they really haven't talked much about this, and you can understand it. I mean, the grief for everyone really involved in this, so close to it, just it must be unbearable. And there are a lot of stories about, I mean, this thing shattered 5 families. I mean, this crash, it's got to be impossible to talk about for the people whose families were directly involved. But I, approached Zach recently to see if he would be willing to discuss it, because he just had this unique perspective going from an all-star competing against Kobe for years to now Kobe is coaching his daughter. Zach himself said it, never could have imagined that he and Kobe Bryant would form this coach-parent partnership. But Zach Randolph just speaks of, he says Kobe's the best to ever do it. He's not talking about the player. He's talking about the coach. He was that moved by how much Kobe put into coaching that team. And, Kobe did. I think maybe the most telling line in the piece is, Zach Randolph said, Kobe ran this like a real organization. That's how seriously he took it for these girls. And they practice 5 days a week, and just all the strength training and beach workouts and all these things that Kobe brought to this group. And he was, I think we all know, I think we've seen enough footage. And this coaching his daughter and coaching that team meant so much to him.
We're talking to Mark Stein. Mark, there is a great quote in the piece when Randolph told you that Kobe, quote, loved my baby. He told me, I love her, man. When he told me that, I told him, we're brothers for life. End of quote. What does that say then about both men?
Yeah, you're right. That's the most powerful line in the story, probably. I don't think Zach Randolph was expecting that. Again, he knew Kobe Bryant from competing against him for years, but competing against somebody, it's a much different thing when, all of us who have kids and they play sports, that relationship with the coach, it's important. It's a big deal, because the kids are spending so much time on these traveling teams. And I think a lot of parents can just identify with how you want to feel good about the coach that you're sending your kids to. And, Zach Randolph felt more than good about it. Kobe told him, just you watch how good she's going to be when I'm done working with her. And so, it's the tragedy of this. It's all coming back for everyone now. It's going to be a very emotional week. The 1 year anniversary is tomorrow, and I still just can't believe it.
It's a nearly impossible thing to get your head around, for sure. Mark Stein joining us, and I hate to keep belaboring it, but there's so many interesting aspects, and it's so sad. It is so sad, and it's all coming back again. But there's another relationship I do want to ask you about, and that's the one between Pau Gasol and Kobe's family, which to me really is fascinating. Now, it's not if you know anything about Pau, because he's such an amazing guy and a tremendous guy. But from what you've seen of that, what does that tell you about Pau as a person that maybe something you didn't even know?
Yeah, my former colleague, Ramona Shelburne, she did a wonderful piece on Pau and just how hard he's tried to kind of be there for the family as much as you can. It can never be enough, but he's trying to provide as much support as possible. And just I think it's interesting that as reporters we so much covered what Pau could do for Kobe's championship window, but also Kobe kind of toughening Pau up to win a championship. But I found it very interesting that Pau spoke about in this piece trying to coach Kobe the other way, that it's okay to let your guard down and show love and let some of those vulnerabilities out. And Pau is probably the only one who could have done that because they won so much together, and it was such a game changer for Kobe after that trade and having a player of that level join him again and giving him the chance to win two more championships. So, look, I think you've encountered Pau yourself. There aren't many kinder people in sports or the world really than Pau. He just is an incredibly kind person, and they were a duo of opposites, but I think everybody sees now how close they really were.
No, I think you're right. Pau's a really different type. Like a world-class athlete, but, so kind and just such a good guy. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, Mark, let me just really quickly ask you, and there's not a convenient pivot here, but when you look at the Lakers really quickly, you look at LeBron and he's averaging 32.4 minutes per game, which would be the lowest of his career by quite a bit. They're tied with the Clippers for the best record in basketball. So how pleased do you think the Lakers are with their strategy and how it's working out so far? And then what's that say about their depth?
They're in a class by themselves, and that's, you know, in their journey, you know, last season there were so many, even after the Anthony Davis trade, there were so many doubts. Are they even the best team in L.A.? I mean, that was a legitimate discussion all season long, and the reality was, I think, from the analyst chair, we all said the Clippers had the higher ceiling. The Clippers had more depth. The Clippers, you know, had a more talented cast around their two stars, and, you know, there were so many questions about that Laker team, and now they conquered the bubble. And this season, yeah, there are a lot of new pieces that they're still finding their way. And, you know, I don't think it's by any means seamless. But when you talk to people around the league, I think most teams, most rival front offices would paint it the same way for you. The Lakers are in a class by themselves, and everybody else is trying to get to that level. I mean, they are clear favorites, and they were not in year one of LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I agree with you. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is a Cal State Fullerton and a Big West Conference legend. Do not forget either of those things. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. I want to reiterate, he won the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, or was a recipient thereof. He is Mark Stein. Mark, appreciate you very much, as always. Thanks for coming back.
Good to be with you, sir. Be good.
You too, Mark. Be good. Great talking to you. Always appreciate the conversation. We Big West guys all stick together. Cal State Fullerton, especially where I live in Orange County. Cal State Fullerton, because both of my kids played baseball. Jake did. Logan does. There's a lot of Cal State Fullerton grads around here. Like, normally it was easy to kind of clown, like Jay Stu. Jay Stu was Cal State Fullerton. When I went to UC Santa Barbara, we thought that we were superior because we were a, quote, UC school, and they were a state school. However, when it comes to baseball, now, granted, I've got a baseball factory at UCSB with my guy Andrew Checkets running things, but Cal State Fullerton is a baseball empire. Cal State Omaha, Cal State Fullerton. There are plenty of former MLBers, former drafted players. Like, they're all over this area, coaching, teaching, specializing. So if you've got Cal State Fullerton and baseball on your resume, it's a good thing, especially in this area.